if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Most times they're blowing teams out by overtime. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media Group and CMG Podcast. We're streaming live on StreamYard. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Sanders Sanchez and Riley Barrett. How are you guys doing?
Chilling, baby. You?
We good.
Okay, it's Monday, and I'm happy to talk sports. It's another day, and the biggest surprise came over the weekend over a game that we were talking about just a few days ago, Sander. Your beloved Nets took a big time out to some shorthanded Lakers, and sure, they're shorthanded, but they got some size now because they got Andre Drummond down low, and he made himself known to these Nets as they won 126-101. So, Sander, my question to you is, what did we learn about this game? Is it more about the Lakers, or was it more about the Nets, the way that this game played out?
Well, I say if you guys watch that game in its entirety, you could say you learned a lot of things in that game. And things from both teams, for real. Pride, you were mentioning it that Aldridge, you know, is a real good upgrade from DeAndre Jordan in that game last night against DeAndre Drummond. You wouldn't even think DeAndre Jordan or LaMarcus Aldridge look any different, honestly. What it says big time for the Lakers is DeAndre Drummond is a beast. It's everything that he was advertised. And I said it not too long ago on this show, when Andre Drummond joins Anthony Davis and LeBron, that front court could possibly go down as one of the greatest front courts of all time. With DeAndre Jordan giving you basically 20-20 on his best night. And if he wants to go off for more rebounds, he can get you more. I don't see nobody on that Brooklyn defense that can stop a guy, Andre Drummond, in the post. It looked scary, honestly. You see Kevin Durant there by himself because, by the way, Kyrie Irving, I'm gonna get to Kyrie Irving in a bit. But you saw Durant out there by himself looking helpless. And it's just the way it looked. With LeBron coming back and AD, with Andre Drummond looking like the beast he did in that game. Bro, I'm sorry, but the Lakers are going to have something to say. I still think that fully healthy with James Harden and Kyrie, they can possibly beat the Lakers. But, whoa, it's a punch in the mouth. If it's not, if it wasn't a punch in the mouth, it was a beatdown. And Let's take this in consideration, guys. They won 126, 106? 126-106, right? 101, 126-101. Okay. Kyrie was gone in that game. And Kyrie was not only going to possibly set the tone offensively as the game got deeper, but that stupid double foul that the ref called on Kyrie and Schroeder, it's one thing if these guys are ready about to throw hands and all that, but it's one thing if these guys are talking, man. And referees' feelings get hurt more than a 13-year-old girl online. And they're soft as cotton out tissue. Like, for real, these refs are soft, man. And it's like you look at them the wrong way. Tim Duncan got kicked out for laughing on the sideline. Like, these refs are soft, man, and ruining the game. And they're ruining the game. A game where it's a Lakers where there's no LeBron, there's no AD, there's only Kyrie and KD. And you're going to throw out Kyrie because they're having a word dispute? The N-word was used. But still, these dudes, you know, they're playing basketball. And at the end of the day, I don't think a word like that was enough for Kyrie to get thrown out and Schroeder to get thrown out. You got possibly two of the best players on the team of the game out for the game. And it's nonsense. It really is nonsense. The referees to me are ruining this, and NBA should definitely look to it. But nonetheless, guys, DeAndre Drummond is the real deal. I'm sorry, DeAndre Drummond is the real deal.
It's Andre Drummond.
Andre Drummond. I'm calling him DeAndre Drummond. Yep. Not bad, Andre. Andre Drummond, he's the real deal. He could possibly, you know, solidify the Lakers' ticket to the NBA Finals when LeBron and AD come healthy, because he's just that much of a beast. And adding him to the Lakers, it's only going to be problems for a lot of teams. The Brooklyn Nets, their post play, if that's what you're going to get, imagine when LeBron and AD are on the court. You're going to have to get the best version of KD, the best version of James Harden, and the best version of Kyrie to compete and win a championship. You're going to have to bring it. So what I learned from this is the Lakers, when LeBron and AD come back to this, it's going to be scary. And the Brooklyn Nets, you better prepare yourselves, because you got your squad. You better prepare yourself.
This is the same dude who said it was going to be – he said it was going to be a breeze for the Nets. Now, all of a sudden, or when they come back.
It'll be a breeze to get through the East. It'll be a breeze to get
through
the
East. Oh, so now we're switching it? Now we're switching to the East?
Oh, it'll be a breeze to get through the East.
When LeBron James – when LeBron James beats the Brooklyn Nets, I'm listen, like it says in the intro, I'm going to need you to pen this man a letter, apologize to him, then send it to him. But – let me touch on the Kyrie Irving point real quick, because this is funny to me, right? Everyone goes, oh, Kyrie was ejected. I will say this to my dying breath. Kyrie Irving deserved to get ejected. You're acting like last week we had 90s refs, and then this week we have sensitive refs. These refs have been sensitive for a while, ever since Kyrie has been in the league. Him and Schroeder are beefing. They scrapping. The refs tells them both to shut up. Kyrie doesn't shut up. They get teched. What does Kyrie do after he gets teched? What does he do? He doesn't shut up. He keeps going. What do you expect? Let me ask you a question, right? If you got the stove on hot, right, and you touch it, you get burned. You touching that stove again? No, right? Okay, then. So this whole thing where Kyrie shouldn't have been thrown out. No. We don't have 90s refs anymore. The league, has the refs been soft? Yes, but they've been soft for years. We can't all of a sudden be like, oh, we got to hold them to a higher standard. When you said about Tim Duncan, how long ago was that? So that shows you the refs have been soft for a grip. So you can't all of a sudden want these refs to be tough for Kyrie, the same dude who'll go, oh, he can't call me the N-word. He's from Germany. Really? Really? You're from Australia, kid. What are you doing, bro? This man is, I swear, this he has the least amount of self-awareness I think I've ever seen in my life. Because he goes, he can't call me that. I'm not that. So you're mad at German, who's part black as well, as calling you that. And you're from Australia. Connect the dots. He deserved it. And on top of that, let's stop acting like he got ejected in the first quarter. It was in the third quarter. With like 9 minutes and something left, huh? He definitely had his minutes. So let's stop acting like if he was on the floor, it would have been different. We can't act like that. Did he deserve it 110%? Same thing with Dennis Schroeder. He deserved it too. Because if you're not going to shut up, and you know coming in, these refs are soft, especially Kyrie, who's been on record saying these refs are soft, right? Then you antagonize them, knowing they're sensitive. Then you get thrown out and you try to play the martyr card. What am I supposed to do with that? That's like me going to a deranged man. He shoots me and I go, oh my God, what was me? No, I'm stupid. I put myself in that position. So that whole Kyrie thing, I ain't cutting him no slack. What this taught me two things. First and foremost, let me just get it over with. The Brooklyn Nets should be embarrassed of themselves. Now, I'm not going to say their playoff dreams are like on life support or anything like that. I'm not going that far. But you better be so embarrassed the next game forfeited. Maybe even the one after that. The team should suspend themselves. No, I don't want to postpone. I don't want because the Minnesota, since the whole shooting over there, they're postponing some of their games. I want them to forfeit. I need them to forfeit. They don't deserve wins now. For like a good week, they got to go to timeout. Because that was absurd, bro. Bro, what I saw, bro, the Lakers, their defense was very gritty. They were playing rough, rough ball. Kind of when Cleveland, when they came back 3-1 from Golden State, how they do it, they were playing that chippy defense. That, look, man, cry if you want to, bro, but you're going to feel me.
We're going to put the paws on you defense.
Yes, Exactly. And
Andre Drummond was a monster.
Yeah, they held. I'm going to get to him in a minute. They held Brooklyn to 43% from the floor. 43% as a team. That's horrible. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what they shot from three?
Horrible.
18%. 18%. They should be embarrassed of themselves. Like I said, bro, shut down Barclays for a week. Give if y'all haven't finished, give refunds. Give refunds. And you taking some of KD's check, too. You taking some of his check. And Kyrie, you finding him, you taking his check, and then you suspending him. Because I promise you, him going on his little sabbatical, what I tell you, what I say last show, Kyrie's that one. If Kyrie ain't happy, Kyrie go on sabbatical, what he do? Where he at right now? I have to take a stand. He called me the N-word. Meanwhile, there's videos of this same dude in the nightclub screaming at the top of his lungs. I need consistency. What? Are you not it, or you can only say it when you say it? This man, he got to pick a lane, bro. It's getting to the point where I'm getting sick of this dude. I really am, bro. And I to the point where I'm like, I don't even hate Brooklyn. I'm starting to hate Kyrie. If it's not one thing I do, it's another, dude. This dude could play more than my two-year-old daughter. And if I take her toy and I'm not holding her for 2 seconds, she'd be screaming like I'm beating the bricks off her. So, Kyrie, you need to figure something out.
Biggest question.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. But the thing is, it's the most important.
He's not the only question, but he's the biggest.
If you, that's if
what
you
I said last X-factor. Show.
He's your X Factor.
That's what I said. No, I didn't say that. I just said
no, he's not.
I'm saying he's like their X Factor is what I'm saying.
Nah, I would say their bigs are. No, I'm saying they're big, but I'm going to touch on that point on why I say that. This taught me that, like, the Nets, they can't handle grit. They can't. They're a finesse team, that's not bad, but you have to have some grit in you because when it comes time and there's a team that's being gritty on you and they're playing that rough defense, like what Philly plays, because Philly don't play that clean defense and neither does Milwaukee. You going to feel them. They don't care.
Yeah.
So when you play that, and that's another thing. Did you know Andre Drummond this season is undefeated against the Brooklyn Nets?
Bro,
I was on social media and I saw that. I saw that. And I was like, no way. That's not true. So I looked it up. This dude helped lead Cleveland to two victories over them. Then he won again last night. So he's 3-0 against Brooklyn, right?
Oh, you're calling him net killer now?
You're talking about Colin Sexton 41-point game? Stop it.
Whoa. But was he playing though? That's it. Quick question. What's Colin Sexton's record against the Nets? 2-0, right? Andre Drummond's 3-0 with a whole new team.
We're talking about games now?
It don't matter. Was he on the team? Yes or no? Don't do that because you flip-flopping. You trying to come at your brother's side. Don't do that. Stay with your Brooklyn side.
JJ, you know too. You know, do good and well. You one of those, it's June. Oh, it's April. But now.
No.
Let me get in here. Let me make one more real quick.
So they couldn't stop Andre Drummond, right? Like, and you admitted that. Like, you said they couldn't stop him. In order to get to the finals, they're gonna have to go through Embiid, and they're gonna have to go to Giannis. Okay. Now look, hold on. With the roster they just had, they couldn't stop Andre. Okay.
Wait. James Harden wasn't playing, bro. Come on now.
It was AD. Not enough with the excuses. You're saying James Harden not winning. Is he playing defense on Andre? Okay. So everything
they're scoring more. I get it. They're scoring more. I get it. There's really not a solution for a big guy like that right now. But let me get in here.
Go ahead.
I learned a lot from both sides. You know, on the Brooklyn side, Kyrie's always been the hothead of the group, so you never really know where you're going to get out of him night in, night out. You know, he has his stance that he stands strongly with. You know, I somewhat have his side too. You know, he doesn't want people using that word. I support him in that sense. You know, maybe it's just not the right way to go about it, putting your team in jeopardy and the position to lose your team. I think there's a better setting for that message to be sent across, Kyrie. So, you know, if that's what you want to do, by all means, feel free to do it. It just wasn't the platform at the moment, or maybe a moment like that had to happen to magnify what it means to him and the message he's trying to get across. So I get it, guys. You know, I'm not going to knock him for it because everybody should stand true to their personal beliefs, and that's just a personal thing, and I'll never disagree with it.
But just real quick, it's hypocritical because there's numerous videos out there within the last year of him saying it. So that's you can't sit there and say, oh yeah, he's taking a stand. No, he's taking a stand because he took an L. You can't use it because this is just an excuse he does.
Well, haven't you noticed from years ago? He's a different person today.
He just went to Africa recently. So it's
some people aren't the same person from today and tomorrow. Human nature shifts pride. That's essentially my point. Nonetheless, you know, when it comes to the game, he did it. It put his team in a position to lose. Obviously, you lose a star player, then you're gonna put your team in a position to jeopardize a win. KD's still on a minute restriction. The Nets struggled. The Lakers capitalized as they should have because they're already learning how to play without two of their star players, which I think come playoff time is actually gonna turn out to be an advantage of them playing without LeBron and AD because come playoff time those guys are gonna need their rest. So if this team can somehow learn how to play together as a second unit without that depending on that star power, I think this could actually benefit the Lakers come later in the season because Shooter's going to learn how to handle things now. Andre, Kuzma, Mark Morris, you know, like all these guys that have the least amount of minutes are now capitalizing about it.
Why rolling your ass to Marcus? Like he's a bum.
No. I said Kuzma.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I'm there with you.
You just need Kuzma to give you 22 out of 7 games, okay? That's all you need. I mean, you will like it. But if it gives you 2 out of 7 games, it gives you a 20 piece, you're not going to be mad at Kuzma. Nonetheless, you know, I think you guys both nailed both sides. They really showed they were a finesse team. Meanwhile, the Lakers just show how gritty, how tough they are. And this is a team that has a lot of pride. They just won a championship last year. And the last team you want to be is the team that can't, that's going to fall behind without LeBron. Like, these guys are NBA players. They have pride. They have championship pride for the ones that's been there. And they know that their responsibility while their star guys and LeBron and AD are out is don't fall too behind in the playoff race. They're currently in the 5th seed, if I recall right, pride. And they really don't want to find themselves 8 through 10 where they have to be in the play-in tournament. That's not where they want to be at. So they're just trying to hold it down at the moment while their stars get back. And hopefully by then, they'll be ready to go for a playoff push, Pride.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you are right. They do want to avoid that play-in. That's definitely something that they 110% do want to avoid. I'm not – for Brooklyn, you're going to go ahead and say, oh, it doesn't matter because of Embiid and not Giannis. I know what you're going to say, right? You're going to say that generic thing, right? So since you think – because JJ, check me if I'm wrong. This man said Brooklyn is going to win the whole thing, right? So I'm going to put your feet to the fire. I'm going to put your feet to the fire. With what we saw in Andre, are you – because that whole soliloquy you went on earlier, nah, Papa, you were trying to flip until I had to push you back. You feel me? You were trying to come back on our side. But you ain't going to do that. I ain't going to let you. Let me ask you a question. Since you think you got Brooklyn winning after what we just saw from Andre, and this isn't the first time he's done it. I think the last 3 games he's been doing his thing. When you put LeBron and AD back in there, Brooklyn in what?
I say Brooklyn in 7. I think it's going to go 7 games. You got 4.
I got Lakers in 4. I got Lakers in 3.
No. Give me it solid. I gave you Brooklyn in 7. That's my legit stamp it on the note. What you
got? I'm gonna take Lakers in 6, and I'm gonna tell you why. The Lakers, the Nets will take game 1. They're gonna lose game 2. Kyrie, the reason they're gonna lose game 2 is because Kyrie is gonna want to dominate the ball. KD's gonna be just sitting there, and James is gonna be like, "Look, bro, it's not working. We gotta do something else." Kyrie's gonna keep wanting to do his thing. Mm-hmm. Game 3, they're going to play much better. Unfortunately, that's going to leave Kyrie out.
Right.
And then Lakers are going to do their thing for the rest.
Got you.
So, you know,
I say this about the Lakers real quick, JJ. The Lakers, if we get in the line that we've been getting all season, and the AD that we know we can see, the AD that we've known, all right, that we fell in love with that Andre Drummond, dude, I don't even care if they get in the playoff in the play-in game. If that's the team that's gonna start the playoffs fresh, bro, they're gonna run through the West.
Oh, I would agree to that, but yeah, I'm unfortunately I'm gonna have to put respect on Denver's name, bro. Because ever since they got Aaron Gordon, I mean, Jokic need all the help he can get. Only you know what I mean? Because he can't.
Well, as we know, the West is always a gauntlet. Whoever represents the West at the end of the day gets a lot of praise, regardless if you win the finals or not. So we'll be waiting. You guys both have strong finals predictions. So as the season goes, we'll see which one comes true.
But I'm going to laugh when the Lakers and the Nets don't make the finals. I'm going to laugh. I swear to God. Go ahead, JJ.
That's great, yeah. But I do want to transition to the NBA, or to the NFL, actually, because for the longest time, we've been hearing the Jets are going to grab Zach Wilson out of BYU after Trevor Lawrence goes number one to Jacksonville, as most people expect them to. And I got a lot of questions, guys. I don't know if it's just me, Pride, or Shander, but I just don't see what all these people see about Zach Wilson. Like, I've seen the tape, and it's okay. And he plays at BYU, and I know it's not a very elite school when it comes to football, but they have some talent. But, like, I just see it, and I don't see the guy that should be picked number two. So before I pick my guy who I would go, I saw a review, Pride. Who do you like? You know, do you think they're making the right decision with Zach Wilson, or do you think they should go another direction?
So for me, and we've talked about this before, I would take Justin Fields. That's just me. That's just me. But Zach Wilson, he's not a bad choice. You know, he's what you want. You know, he's that prototypical 6'3" guy. You know, he's a gunslinger. You know, and he can get stuff done with his feet, which behind that Jets line. You're going to need that because that line doing you zero favors, Papa, is doing you zero. So I think right now the only reason I will say he's a better fit is just because the Jets actually want him. Now, again, like I said, if it was me, I'm taking Justin Fields. That's just me. I see a little bit more in him. But the Jets supposedly seen something in Zach that is like – that blew their minds away. I was reading like a scout report that I guess was like leaked. And I say use leak loosely because it doesn't matter because everyone knows the Jags are taking Sunshine. So since they got the number two, it don't even matter. So somebody was like, oh, look what I leaked. And I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. But they said one of the things they liked about him, his size, his stature. He comes in at about 210. So they like that, and I guess it's something about how his discipline to being in shape, which is bizarre to me because I don't know. If I hear like 210, I feel like you get hit one time and you're out for the year. Maybe that's just me. But the thing they like was his arm. They like that he's a gunslinger, that he slings it. If I'm not mistaken, he averaged 6.8 yards per pass. If I'm not mistaken, led the nation, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
no, either led right. Or, yeah, it was there. Justin Fields, I think, had 6.5, which was, I think, tied for fifth. So he definitely was up there too. The thing with Wilson, which I'm a little, I don't want to say worried about, when he goes there,
you say it.
What are they gonna give him?
With the chess?
What are they gonna give him? Like you shipped out Sam Darnold, right? We saw how bad Sam Darnold looked. Cause they ain't think he had. I hope and pray that was a joke. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. Yeah, listen, but. He don't have nothing, you know what I mean? He doesn't have nothing. Now, the thing that he will have when he comes in was that you know, okay, I'm in a place where I know they want me. They have the number two overall pick. They could have had anybody other than, you know, long-haired pretty boy. They could have had anybody else. They got me. So, yeah, so they're like, you know, we got faith in you, which is good. But at the same time, it's like – but one thing I'm concerned with is when he's – when he runs – maybe it's me, right? I peeked a couple of the BYU games, you know, if they were on, you know, I never went out of my way to see him. But he reminded when he ran, maybe it was just the games I saw, but I saw some of Andrew Luck in him where instead of sliding, he tries to run through people to get an extra yard or two. As a person who I'm going to build my future around, that's going to freak me out because we saw what happened with Andrew Luck. Homeboy barely could spell prime, and he had to retire because of all the injuries. Because he said, I got sick of rehabbing, coming back, getting injured, surgery. He got sick of it. So that's one concern I have. And another one I have concern for Zach Wilson, not to call him stupid, but it doesn't look like he knows how to go through progressions properly. It's almost as if he goes to his first read. It's not there. Oh. All right, who's 10 yards away from me? And that's kind of how he plays. It's like, if his number one option is open, he's like, okay, well, I'm flinging it. Like, I'm, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost as if his homeboy, like, thought he was a pitcher or something. He's going to air it out. So that's going to make me a little uncomfortable, only because when you get, like, in college, that works. That definitely works. But when you start getting to the NFL, that's not really going to fly anymore. You can't just be like, oh, my first read's done. Okay. Because, for instance, Jared Goff did the same thing. Where if his, like, Sean McVay would come over to him, like, yo, this is your first, this is the read, this is the X, like, this is the guy you got to throw to. And if they were covered, he did one or two things. He either forced it or he just gunned it outside, mm-hmm. like Robert Woods. Like, that's what he did. So I kind of see some of that in Zach Wilson. Now, he is young. They have, which LaFleur? I think it's Mike LaFleur, the younger brother. He's there. He's their offensive coordinator. So if Jets. He has, yes, yeah, for the Jets. I think it's Mike. But he has, you know, if he got anything of his older brother, he'll be able to correct them. You know what I mean? It's just more along the lines of, if you take Zach, are you willing to just mess with him a little bit? You know, there's a couple things he does wrong, but it's not like out of the realm. Like, oh my God, you do this awful, we can't draft you. There's stuff that, you know, it could be fixed. So, is it a good choice? Sure. It is, but like I said, bro, if it's me, I'm taking Justin Fields. But it looks like they see something in the kid that no one else does. So, I mean, like, if you got if the organization is confident in you, I guess that's a good place for you to be, right?
It is by default. It is by default, Brian. You're right. It's just by default because it's only a good fit because the Jets are picking number two, just like you said. But to be honest, guys, Zach Wilson, Wilson Volleyball, Wilson from Castaway, this is a project, guys. This is a project, okay? So the Jets have to be willing to understand that this isn't going to be a one-year Patrick Mahomes sit down and then next, boom, you're in Super Bowl contention. Tampoco, because this is not like that. I don't see the talent in Zach Wilson that, you know, that Pat Mahomes had coming out. But what I'm trying to say is, guys, this isn't going to be one. This isn't going to be two. It'll be 3-4 year project. And you have to be willing to sit through that and build, because I'm talking about lottery picks, guys. I'm not talking about 6-10 records. I'm talking about low bottom feeders. Not to say that it's a horrible thing for them, because this is the rebuild mode. They got their quarterback, so they say. Okay, the coach Robert Salas, he says that this is the guy that he wants to build on. Everybody says this is the guy that checks all their dots. Okay, so just know, my only question is he willing to endure the New York media enough? Because you know these guys are hungry. They haven't had success since Joe Namath, so they're hungry. They want answers. So Zach Wilson has to prepare himself, and I'm not sure if he's built that way. Honestly, I don't know if he's built that way. It's something about, you know, quarterbacks coming out of these colleges like BYU, Birmingham. You know, it's just something about these quarterbacks that don't play top level, top tier competition that coming into the NFL. It's like, okay, they put up good numbers, but against who? You feel me? Because once you step into the NFL, and he's going to the Jets now, the AFC East, bro. You're going against that Buffalo Bills defense. You're going against that defense down in Miami, South Beach, where that was a top 10 defense last season. And you're going with a prodigy of Bill Belichick, with Flores as the head coach down there. He's not going into an easy peasy lemon squeezy division. You feel me? He's going to be thrown into the wolves. Sam Darnold was talking about seeing ghosts. What you think this guy's going to see with that team that's brought in front of them? I made the joke earlier about Le'Veon Bell, because it was a joke, Pride. I was about to say Jamison Crowder, but I didn't want you to take a flight up here and strangle me. You feel me?
I would have left.
I'm just saying, it's just, what has he got to work with? And it's not much, nothing at all, to be honest. What you do have going for you is his youth and the fact that, guess what? I say, let this man, don't start him right away. I say try to get a veteran and let him build a little bit. You're going to suck with him or without him. So suck without him, honestly. Some draft picks, build that offensive line. Because you would talk about Fields, you would take Fields. If I'm the Jets, I wouldn't want to take Fields because I don't want to waste that greatness that he has in that new weather. I think he's more built for San Fran. His offensive play style is more built for a San Fran, you know, that weather, you know, where he could use his legs and his arms and doesn't have to worry about that cold weather sliding and stuff. You know, that's, I think Zach Wilson, with his legs that he doesn't need to run all the time, that he can run when he has to, in New York he'll fit fine. But just Jet fans, I know you're probably not going to like me. I really don't care. But don't expect 6-10. Don't expect 7-9. Don't expect these 3-13 records because, or 3-14 because they added another week. So just expect these bottom feeder years because, and I would, and honestly, I would prefer that because at least I know I'm getting another top pick in the draft to build around what I currently have right now. And dude, the Jets are flooded with draft picks to the point where they can literally build an entire roster within the next 3 to 4 years with all these draft picks. With, they don't have 1-2 picks in the round. They have 3 picks in the round. So, dude, it's enough for them to completely build their roster. And like I said, they're going to be competing for third place for the next 3-4 years. But you, that's what you got to work with, guys. You got to take what you're given. Because I don't see them, I don't see them competing with the Bills. I don't see them competing with Bill Belichick and those Patriots. I still see those Patriots, you know, as a contender. They looking heavy. So I just don't know, JJ. I just don't think Zach Wilson is enough to, you know, for these Jet fans to think that they're gonna be in contention anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said, but I will disagree on one point because if I'm the Jets and I'm drafting a quarterback number 2, I'm starting him game 1. Because I need to know what I have right away. Can he compete? Does he have the weaknesses that we thought he had? Does he have the strengths that we thought he had? And the only way you're going to learn this is by putting him into the fire. And he has to learn how to play against these NFL defenses because that's how it is. And watch pride. The NFL is going to do him dirty. It's going to be Jets at New England week 1 probably. And he's going to be mad as hell he got to play Bill Belichick in his first game. But that's just the way the cookie crumbles probably, you know. But you guys know that he really is a project at the end of the day. You know, they decided to go with him at number 2. And if I'm the Jets, I stand firmly by my point that I thought that Sam Darnold was the best option out of any guy that you could have drafted at number 2. They chose to go the other way considering they're going to have to pay Sam Darnold soon. So I understand it. Work with a rookie quarterback in his contract for the next 4 years. And because of that, Sander, they don't have the patience to – having behind the season guy because you want to capitalize the rookie contract because that's the ingredient now to win in the NFL. Get a good quarterback and his young, his first or second contract while it's still low because, you know, once they hit that payday, it's going to be hard to build your team around these guys because they've taken up a bigger chunk of the pie now more than ever. You're a Dallas fan. You know about that for sure. Dak Prescott's going to make $75 million this year.
Jeez.
But his cap hit this year is only like $22.5 million because of some way that Jerry financed it. But moving forward, $40 million. And it's hard to build a team with that number already in your future stacked up. So, you know, maybe with all those draft picks that you mentioned, Sander, maybe they can get him some weapons. You know, I would love if they're going to draft the number 2, make a move. Go get him a Kyle Pitts. Go get him a Chase,
Chase from hot water.
Just, you know, make something happen. Go get him a receiver because if not, you're right. You're already competing for the number 3rd spot in the AFC pride. So go out there and at least give him something to swing with because right now he's in the UFC with no gloves.
Real quick, but would you really want to risk all that? If, like I said, if you're going to suck with him or without him, why not let him rest? I was going to touch on that.
I'm more leaning with Light. The only reason is because if you look at the roster, he doesn't have anything. You know what I mean? Like, now, if he had a receiver, you got me. We're gonna throw. If they had gotten Galladay and then gotten Kyle Pitts, that's a different story.
They got Corey Davis. Not nobody, but they tried though. You know.
But listen, I'm gonna say this again. Sam Darnold had those same dudes. And we out here, people out here thinking he was a legitimate bust. And you said he's better than any other quarterback other than Sunshine, because he's obviously going to the Giants. Based on everyone else they had, Sam Darnold was better than them. Sam Darnold had that same team, and people were calling him the problem. So you can't say Zach Wilson, who's going to be a project. Like, we all agree, he's going to be a project. You can't plug him in and then expect him to do something. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I'm not saying plug him in to get W's. They're not going to get W's regardless. But I'm saying, like,
why risk him getting injured?
If this is the guy that I'm going to build, I need to learn how I can make him better. And the only way I'm going to know that is by seeing him in actual gameplay footage.
But JJ, you did say something about getting him a Kyle Pitts. And you said you said you're going to have to move hell in high water. Jets have it. Like you said, their picks are abundant. They have enough picks to, you know, make some moves and not set them back too much.
And that's kind of pride. They have a lot of picks, and they're Jets picks. So you know they're going to be high.
We're not talking about, like, Kansas City Chief picks. We're not even talking about Green Bay picks. We're talking about almost guaranteed top 10 per round picks, which is a lot of dudes are going to be hungry for that. So, you said something about Zach Wilson being in that New York Jets media or whatnot, right? And you're saying how they're starving. Listen, man, at this point, he's got nobody to answer to because all the fans done starved. Because you're talking about they've been way successful since Joe Namath.
Skeletons in there with microphones.
That's it, bro. That's it. You got them doing musical numbers in there, bro. Like, that's it. Like, I'm not concerned about him handling the pressure of the media. I'm more concerned about him handling that pressure, that defensive pressure that's gonna be coming at him because he got no help on that line.
When it comes to the pressure, I'm talking about not just the pressure of the media, I'm talking about losing and that pressure of losing. Because that's one thing. It's pressure is one that's thing, true. But pressure of losing, like, dude, he's gonna be told, what's going on? Why are you understanding these defenses? Like, you know what I mean? He's just that type of pressure.
But remember, he's coming in as a project. So right. I don't think, so let's say they plug him in. I don't think after like week four, they're going to be like, hey, yo, what are you doing? I don't think they're going to be like that. You know what I mean? I think they'll give him time. What I'm thinking they'll do is after the second year, if they see nothing, they're going to start doing him like they did Sam Darnold. But they're going to shrug their shoulders. Even like him. But they're going to shrug their shoulders and then they're going to start looking elsewhere, JJ.
You're muted.
Nonetheless, guys, you know, whatever the Jets decide to do, we're all going to be anxious to see what they do at number two. I can't wait for the draft. It's usually one of my favorite events of the year, so I'm waiting on it. But I want to transition to another event that happened this weekend yesterday because Bad Bunny took on WrestleMania 37 and he dominated the show. Yes. He was making the power moves. He was jumping off the ropes. He did great, guys. You know, this is our guy. We love his music, and apparently now he's a half an athlete, and I love that too, guys. So, Pride, what did you think about his performance?
Only one word came to mind. Sheesh! This dude was phenomenal. I'm seeing this man do moves that veterans are scared of. Like, I've never seen a celebrity come in, hit a Canadian destroyer, hit a Falcon Arrow, and jump off the top rope. This dude is getting hit, and he's out here selling it.
Yo, like, call it right, yo. Call it right. It's like a bunny destroyer, not a Canadian destroyer.
Well, I'm telling you this right now. If he comes back, that's what I'm naming it from now on. If he comes back. 110%, I loved it, bro. And usually, because when you see celebrities come into like wrestling, right, they don't really treat it with that type of respect. They don't, you know, they kind of just like, oh, you know, it's fun. This man took 3-4 months off, did nothing. He moved to Orlando, where the WWE Performance Center is. That's like their training facility. He moved down there and trained, and he's pulling dudes aside. Like, I'm talking about guys with reputation, like Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, even when he saw Bray Wyatt lingering on, he brought him in. And even some of the women, like Rhea Ripley, who I know these are some names because, you know, I'm the biggest, like, wrestling head. So some of these names you guys might not know, but they're like, I'm talking about guys like Rhea Ripley, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch's woman to be back. He's like all these veterans. He's talking to them and say, yo, how am I doing? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And he's just showing some type of respect. And it's to the point where after his match, you got guys like Triple H and Randy Orton on social media literally thanking this dude for not only showing the industry respect, but going out there and making this look legit. When I first heard of the match, right, I thought they going to do, like, WWE was going to do what they usually do, right? It's going to be a whole thing where, because he tagged with a guy named Damian Priest, where he was going to do everything. Bad Bunny will come in, do some stuff, and move. Yo, this dude was like, nah. And he was like, I'm going to do it all. He said he didn't care. Whatever he felt like doing. And you could tell the whole time he was having a ball. My mans was like loving it. He definitely has a future in this if he wants. Like there was like a promo for like his thing. And people were saying, oh my God. Because like you were talking about earlier how you thought it was like a retirement thing. It's not. Because I'm going to read verbatim because you made me look this up. You made me look this up. So I got it verbatim. This is what Triple H said to the dude. You did amazing at WrestleMania, but now it's time for you to do what you do. Then he handed him like a suitcase, and then Bad Bunny was like, thank you. And he left. He went on that little trailer. And it was a mic, right? It was a mic, but it was like the skull mic because you know how Triple H got that whole skull thing or whatever. And then he went. There have been interviews with Triple H, who's the COO of the company. And he's also, if I'm not mistaken, Yo, it sold out. Literally, if I'm not mistaken, when they announced it, like 2 weeks after, it sold out.
Gone.
Like, I've never seen a dude who can come in and then, like, sell out like that. Before he even did it, it was impressive, bro. And, like, Triple H, he's been on record, like, straight up clear. He's like, yo, if he wants to come back, he got my number. You let me know when you want to come back, and we'll figure something out. And, like, I'm explaining something, y'all. I knew this dude was legit. If what the Canadian Destroyer is, in layman's term, it's a flipping pile driver. So if anyone doesn't know, just look up Petey Williams. He used to wrestle for TNA. That was his thing. That move is very dangerous because if one of the people participating in that move slip, your neck is gone. That's gone. So the fact that you got a guy trusting a celebrity to do this just shows the impact that he left on.
And he didn't do it in the ring. He did it on the outside.
Yes, he did it on the outside. Mm-hmm. So that just shows like the trust they have in him, bro. I mean, in terms of it being WWE and if they want to work with him, the door's going to be open. His, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's in February of next year is that his whole tour is. Don't be surprised if he shows up one more time or even after like that tour, he shows up again, bro. Because even he said, he was like, yo, it was fun. He completely loved it. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm putting it to you, sir, bro. If you want to come back, I welcome him with open arms.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It was beautiful to see. Honestly, it was so great to see the reaction of the WWE community accepting someone like Bunny. You know, because you know they're not really kind to other superstars coming into the WWE. So the fact that they accepted him and you know. They made a whole, it wasn't just a one or two cameos. He had an entire storyline, bro. Yep. Him and Vince McMahon sat down and they broke it down in Triple H. They sat and broke down the whole storyline. And it started at Royal Rumble. So, dude, it's a lot of kids' dream, you know, to be a wrestler in WWE. And, you know, our brother Jose talked about how he used to, you know, always dream of being a wrestler growing up. So he fulfilled his dream, honestly. Like, you can't really knock the kid for, you know, for doing it. I respect it 100%. Pride. Seeing him do that damn, I'm going to call it Bunny Destroyer already because I like how JJ did it. So I'm going to go with it. So that Bunny Destroyer, bro, you're talking about, like you said, the level of difficulty that move is because you both have to flip and not for nothing. Bunny can't be no weak punk. He had to be strong enough to hold. Dude, The Miz is not a light dude. The Miz is pushing over 200 pounds. You know, he's a pretty strong dude.
I think he had John Morrison.
Oh, he had John Morrison. John, which was, he's bigger than the Miz.
If I'm not mistaken, I think John Morrison a little heavier.
I think so. I've been keeping up with Bunny's Instagram and stuff, but he's been posting, you know, him getting swole and stuff. Dude, he's been taking it serious. I didn't know that he moved down to Orlando to the facility. That honestly just shows the kid's work ethic. And honestly, This is the type of stuff that leads, you know, superstars and athletes to megastars, to the point where, dude, Bad Bunny's not just the biggest Latin artist in the world. He's the biggest artist completely on the planet. He's probably the biggest name in entertainment right now. And he capitalized. I didn't mean to say it was a cash grab. That's not what I meant. I meant more like, you know, he's one of the biggest stars. You know, Vince McMahon would throw an empty at him to, you know, do whatever. And, you know, he did it. And plus, it's his dream. He won. Listen, and this isn't just this isn't just your average celebrity cameo in the WWE. Dude, he won a championship while at the storyline. He won the 24/7
title.
Yeah, yes, and then he won it on Thursday, I believe, and he won it on Friday, and then Saturday he was on Saturday Night Live performing his song with Booker T with the goddamn belt on. Like, yes, a dude, Bad Bunny gets nothing but my respect. You know, I love what he's doing. You know, gracefully with the Latin community. You know, he's just one of those likable characters. You know what I mean? And he's also marketable. This guy is marketable. You can take him anywhere and he lights up the room. And, you know, we see that with him being embraced, you know, by the hip hop community, by all the athletes. You know, we got players in the MLB that go up to bat to his music. So I'm just saying, this guy, you know, it was a phenomenal opportunity. And, you know, I'm glad that he did it well. Like you said, I know for a fact that the door is always going to be open. I'm speaking from what I saw. I saw those bruises, those cuts, those bangs, those things. And I'm like, damn, Bad Bunny, you really think you're trying to put yourself through that? Or, you know, these wrestlers, they go 365 days a year. So I don't think he'll ever be full time. I think for sure he'll make a few.
He'll pop in and out.
And we've known the WWE to do celebrity GMs, you know, where a celebrity will be a GM for a day or a week, maybe a month. I could see Bad Bunny definitely, you know, continue to do WWE stuff along his career. It's just, damn, bro, taking all those bumps and bruises, I wouldn't want to do that anymore. Hell no.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of the marketability about Bad Bunny, Sandra, he came out with an Adidas shoe and a Crocs shoe, and they both sold like hotcakes. So it just shows you, you know, I'm just happy that Bad Bunny was able to fulfill that need that he wanted to do wrestling the WWE, and that he did it respectfully for the game. You know, the fact that the guys in the art appreciate him doing what he did, nothing but appreciation for him. But it's Monday. We got to touch up on our sort of the past sports placing predictions, because that's what we do on Mondays. And so you see Sander already. Sander, he really burnt his. And usually I start with Pride, but I'm going to start with Sander today because he really scored his plate. So
I just want to start by saying thank God you haven't been able to take that clip and play it, because my Lord. Guys, I burned it out of my plate, bro. I said Nets by 30, and Kyrie was going to score 35. And he lasted about 35 seconds into the third quarter, and he got kicked. So, listen, I burned it. I didn't even get steak. I got churro. So, yeah, man, it's a big L for me. Big L.
How about you, Pride? How you do, boy?
So, I decided, you know, to say something stupid. So that's kind of where I'm at in life. I was under the impression that Kevin Holland would, you know, get his act together, you know. But Tori came out and he was and honestly, to me, yeah, this is bad. This is bad look on Kevin Holland, of course, because I thought he had a better chance. But man, this is the Tori kid. Woo, this kid is legit, bro. He was ranked number 6. And during the fight, they're talking about, yo, is this kid the next contender? Let that sink in, bro. Yeah. It's getting to the point in the middleweight division where they're like, yo, get it, Robert. What, Robert Whittaker, you know, does he deserve a shot? Yeah. Paul Costa, he probably wants a rematch. But they're talking about this kid leapfrogging everybody. I was impressed by him, but, you know, Kevin Holland, I hope he gets fired.
Yeah, you know, the way that he's been embarrassing himself, man, I don't even blame it. But I almost fired myself off my own show. because I try to put some faith in Domingo Herman that he was going to go out there and win a game for the Yankees. And what did this man do? Two of the stars from the Rays hit homers on him. And four innings, he was gone. And he was so bad that he got freaking optioned down to immediately, just like that. And this is what I got for you, Domingo. You see that kid on the left right there? That boy, Davey Garcia? He's your replacement, boy. So, you'll probably never pitch again for the Yankees unless there's a big injury, because at the moment, your seat's going to be taken.
Mm-hmm. That's hilarious. So, Brendan, man, by it's kind of funny because
it's so crazy. I had that Yankee sweeping, and I had Kevin Holland be winning. And they were both wrong.
That's tough.
Yeah, no, it was a bad week for all of us. We all had bad predictions, unfortunately, and we're just going to leave it at that because bad for us. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our website, clovercrestmedia.com/StirThePotSports, and listen to us on Spotify. Look up CMG Sports, and Stir the Pot Sports will be right there. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother, Sandra Sanchez, and Riley Barrett. We'll catch you on Wednesday.
Allison Gamber. I'm the executive director for the Cove Center for Grieving Children. Our office is located in Meriden, and we provide services throughout Connecticut. We are so excited to be having a virtual event coming up, the Hope and Healing Virtual Auction and Celebration. The auction will be held April 22nd to the 24th, and the celebration will be held on the evening of April 24th to talk all about the Cove services and what we've accomplished over the last 26 years. If you'd like to join us for the celebration, registration is free, and you can find all that information on www.covect.org. And the link for the virtual auction will be put up there on the evening of April 21st to start live auctioning on April 22nd. So come and join us to celebrate the Cove and raise some funds so we can continue to offer our programs free of charge.